friends with brews.
You have a Snoopy cup or a dog boy cup. Farside?
Farside cup.
Yeah. All right. We haven't introduced ourselves. Mr. Farside, please introduce yourself.
I am Peter of the Farside.
Yeah. And of Nicolades.
Hi, Peter.
I am Scott Wilsey of the Close Side. I'm on the West Coast.
Will we? I guess we'll see.
I must be close to all my people. All right. Peter, what are you brewing today and drinking today and having today?
I am drinking a cup of Wegmans Colombian whole bean coffee, except I realize I sent you the wrong link because this is the decaf version.
Oh.
So this was the second decaf coffee with the Wegmans store brand that I was able to find in whole bean. I don't like it as much as the other stuff that I usually get, so I am drinking it with not only cream, but also sugar, because it's that kind of coffee.
All right, well, good to know, good to know. Sounds like you're having a terrible time over there.
Terrible. It's absolutely terrible. It's okay. Once you put some sugar into it, it's fine. But, you know, it's not the kind of coffee that I would drink without the coffee, the sugar stuff thing, mission quest thing.
Oh, now you're on a mission quest.
Indeed.
All right, well, this is going to defy everything that I'm about to say about how little beer I've been drinking lately, but I'm having a Hopworks Brewery Beastly Organic Honey Porter.
Beastly? Wow. Okay.
I'm about to crack it. I'm a little trepidatious because I don't always like Hopworks beer.
Mm.
Kind of harsh.
Mm.
But it sounded good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm foaming. I'm foaming at the cup, not at the mouth.
Foaming at the cup, yes. Well, the cup is at the mouth, so you are indirectly foaming at the mouth.
All right, well, I won't get a proper taste until some of that foam has died down. I also have my mother-in-law's homemade cheesecake here with me.
Oh, that's the occasion. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
that is delicious.
Well, I did not bring mine up, but all I did was I had a bowl of oatmeal, cashews, and Greek yogurt beforehand, so... there you go.
Mine's definitely healthier.
I'm sure.
All right. What does your Farside cartoon say on your cup?
It says cat fud. It says cat fud. There are arrows. And then it says, oh, please, oh, please.
Oh, please, oh, please. I love that one.
Yeah, so it's the dog. You know, he wrote cat food, F-U-D, on the entrance to the dryer, which is very funny because many years ago, when I was a wee lad growing up in the wilds of Vermont, we had cats. We had lots of cats. And sometimes the cats would like to sleep in the clothes dryer. So my mom would run the laundry. She would be finished running the laundry. She would open the dryer. She would leave the laundry in there. The cat would say, hey, that looks cozy, would jump into the dryer. Okay, fine. Everything's great. One day, my mom goes to run the dryer. Now, why she would run the dryer and then run it again, I don't know. Maybe she just wanted to fluff it, you know, after it had been sitting there. But again, why would you open the dryer if you were just going to run it again? I don't...
She might have opened it, seen some wrinkles on some clothes, decided to run it again.
But that's not what happened. She would open it, see some wrinkles on clothes, walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing enough time for a cat to get into the dryer. So one day my mom goes and starts the dryer. And my dad, you know, kind of like shuffles out the hall and says to her, did you take the cat out? And she's like, cat out of what? The dryer. Runs, opens up the dryer, and this very disoriented, dizzy cat comes stumbling out of the dryer. And just kind of like walks, you know, bangs into the wall and then, you know, shakes the head and the cat was fine. We had some pretty impressive borderline suicidal cats. It was pretty hilarious. But anyway.
I think your dad saved a cat's life that day.
Probably, but that's what this dog is trying to do with this cat. So I can just imagine, you know, like hearing the cat on tumble dry.
That dog is the opposite of your dad.
Yeah, the dog is like, I didn't hear anything.
What cat? We don't have a cat.
There's no cat. What cat? What dryer? Oh, man. Speaking of that, though, I've been spending more time
in closed drawers
in Vermont, in Vermont. Okay. At the old family homestead. So
yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. So without getting into too details, you know, Dad and Mom are both in a nursing home now. So effectively, for either temporarily or permanently, I have another place in Vermont again. So my girlfriend and I have been going up, well, I've been going up every week now for the last 3 weeks. And I guess the plan is I'm going to keep doing it, you know, basically splitting my time, only a little different. When I first moved down here from Boston, I would go up and, you know, be like a week up here, a week down there, you know, back and forth. Now what I'm doing is, in classic, you know, Bostonian or New York fashion, I'm weekending up in Vermont. You know, most of the time, a lot of time spent just cleaning up the place, trying to clean out the place, just dealing with, you know, like basically 50 years of progress, if that's the word you use, from two habitual systemic hoarders.
You mean progressors?
Progressors, yeah. Not a lot of progress, more like big dressers. But anyway, so yeah, been doing a lot of work just trying to clean out the house. And my girlfriend made an amazing effort at it. And she's been a real trooper through this whole thing. So, but it's kind of nice, you know, we're starting to see the potential of the place again. And we're like, okay, it's kind of cute. So just working to, you know, make it nice and presentable. And if my dad can come home, he'll have a nice place to come home to. And if not, then I'll have a nice place to, you know, hang out in good weather.
Well, my neighbor is doing something similar. But before I talk about that, I need to give my beer review now. It's really good. It's not too harsh. It's not too bitter and abrasive like some Hopworks beers are. It's definitely a porter, but I do taste the honey. And it's a thumbs up. It's not one that I'm not going to go, oh my God, I have to have this and rush out and buy more.
Do you have to be desperate?
No, not at all.
Okay.
That's why it's thumbs up.
Okay. All right. Good. Glad to hear it.
But before I talk about my neighbor, I have actually been drinking way less beer this month. I almost went completely beer free. Not quite. I mean, since the last time we recorded, which was about 3 weeks ago of our recording time. And it feels great. To be honest, it feels good. I need to do that way more often, like every month.
I was going to say, if you were going for, you know, no beer this month, you're only 2 days away, dude. You could have made it, but that's okay.
That's not the goal. The goal is to substantially cut back.
Yes. Yes. I've been noticing that myself. I mean, I've been buying a lot less beer.
Mm-hmm.
And also drinking a lot less. Although when I go out, I've been still drinking a little more regularly.
Yeah.
But still, not as much. And yeah, I, you know, gotta say, when you become sensitive to it, you start to realize, ooh, it feels better when I don't do this.
When you contrast how you feel when you're regularly not drinking compared to even just moderate amounts fairly frequently, it makes a big difference. Yep.
But on that note, you know, perception is the first piece of the puzzle, though, right? You have to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, you know, like any significant change you make, whether it's diet or exercise, alcohol, sleep, you know, anything like that can have a big effect. But first, you have to be aware of that. And that's the trick. A lot of people just have zero awareness of what's going on.
For me, the difference when I sleep a lot versus don't sleep enough is not subtle. It's a huge difference. But yeah, it's true, because your body gradually adapts. And so the changes are so slow that you don't realize, you know what? My workouts aren't as good. I don't sleep as good.
Bingo.
Maybe I should quit drinking alcohol.
Yep. So yeah, there you go.
Anyway, my neighbor is doing the same thing that you're doing to your dad's house, except my neighbor doesn't live here anymore. He lives in Hawaii. And so his son was living in the house. And they've always had renters in and out, even when he lived there. But the son got married and moved out of town. And so then just one of the renters was there. Well, this renter doesn't have a job, but somehow he can afford to pay rent. And he's got people coming 24/7, coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. And long story short, things were getting really crazy over there. And so I tracked down my neighbor on the internet. He called me up and he said, yeah, I know what's going on. I've legally had the guy evicted, but I'm waiting for the law the strong arm of the law part of it to happen.
Good. Good luck waiting for. I don't know what it's like out.
No, it did happen finally.
Oh,
but it took like a month in between the court decision and the eviction.
Got it.
But they destroyed the place. There's graffiti in there. They've torn stuff apart. They just destroyed, trashed the place. He thinks it's going to cost him $100,000 to renovate. Yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to pay for all of that, right?
Oh, who knows where they are?
Yeah.
And then coincidentally, within a day or so, within a day of the guy getting evicted, we have one of those communal mailboxes, you know, where it's just a bunch of boxes stuck in a big metal box. Coincidentally, right at the same time, somebody ripped the side open and broke the locks on all the mailboxes on my side of the box, so our mailbox can't be used anymore.
Huh, what are the odds?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, it's...
I mean, I'm sure it's totally coincidental.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nothing to do with that guy, because he was such an upstanding citizen.
Yeah.
So right now, there's this huge metal dumpster that... Literally, it's two dumpsters wide. It's a double wide. It's sitting in his driveway, and I can tell he's getting ready to... He's back for a month from Hawaii to clean up and start the renovation process, and then I guess he'll have to go back for a while. But anyway, he's got a lot of work ahead of him, and boy, do I feel bad for him. Nobody deserves this crap, I say.
Well, there you go.
So, Peter, if you're ever going to rent anything out...
I've been there, done that.
Be fairly local.
Yeah. Yes. Right now, the only rental property I have right now is less than a mile away from me.
Yeah.
So fairly local.
And I don't know what to tell you if you ever have to evict anyone. They're probably going to trash the place because there's nothing you can do. You have to, first of all, you have to give them notice. And even if they leave without having to be evicted, there's still a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do evict somebody, you know what's going to happen because you still have to give them time. And that's if they even decide they're leaving without the police showing up.
That's the thing, you know, getting rid of people, evicting people can be very difficult.
Yeah. So I'm not going to say this out loud, but if you ever do have to evict somebody, have them assassinated. Just do it because otherwise your place is going to get trashed. And it's way cheaper to hire a hitman than it is to fix your place back up.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't catch any of that. What?
I must have been thinking inside my head. Somehow people heard it.
Must have. Oh, man.
So, I was listening to a different podcast the other day.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Blurring the Lines.
I can't really.
There's this guy on it that is also a runner. He sounds a lot like you. He does similar types of runs as you. And apparently he's got a knee problem and an MRI.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what happened on this podcast that you don't listen to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened exactly. What I do know was that on October 7th or 8th, I had a massage. And towards the end of it, the massage therapist was just doing some work to move my knee around or move my hip around. And there was a popping sensation in my knee, and it has not been the same since. So I'm waiting now, and it's been almost a week. I haven't heard back from my PCP on the scan. So I'm waiting to hear what's going on with that. But at the same time, I'm also digging around and trying to find the best rated sports medicine doctor for knees. So,
I mean, it's not impossible that the masseuse took a perfectly good knee and completely ruined it, but it seems like something must have been going on already.
We'll see. So I'm not a surgeon. So
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, so the knee's kind of messed up. Shoulder's little kind of messed up. Just had a visit with the dermatologist to take a little mole, or not mole, freckle thing situation off. Had a root canal. So 2024 is the year of maintenance.
How old are you? Don't you have another canal that has to be rooted pretty soon?
No, that was done. I took care of that last year.
Oh, okay, okay.
You're good.
Oh, my God.
That's good for 10 years or something.
Yeah, they seem way more relaxed about it than they used to be. They're just like, everything's great up there.
You'll be fine. But boy, if you miss it, you know, yeah.
Getting old sucks.
Yeah, I'm starting to see what they mean by when they say that. So, what are you going to do? In other news, I bought myself a new 32-inch 4K monitor.
Oh.
So I had the one I bought about a year ago. I bought a mono price. And a year ago, it was 300 some odd bucks. This year, a year later, I paid around four or something, a little over 400 for an LG.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, I didn't realize until I was taking it out, it's essentially, my girlfriend has the 27-inch version. I just got like the 32-inch version. It's the same monitor as hers. It's just bigger.
Yeah.
So it was funny because I'm taking it out of the box and I was like, did I just get the same exact thing that she has? And then I looked at it and realized it was smaller.
So is it the same proportion or is it really wide?
Same. No, it's not an ultra high. Functionally, I just pulled it out. The one thing I didn't like about the mono price, and again, keep in mind, a year ago, it was only 340 bucks or so, which was a great price.
Mm-hmm.
It also has more ports, the mono price does, than this one.
Hmm.
But the screen, it just seems sharper. And the thing that I didn't like about the mono price is that if there was I never really narrowed it down exactly, but if there was a significant amount of dark or black area on the screen, it would start to flicker.
Hmm. Weird.
And I could never fix that. So anyway, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that one to be the Vermont monitor that I don't use as much. And, so that one's going up to heading north.
Yeah, it's interesting. I almost sent you and Adam an article that I was reading about Mac native resolutions and 4K monitors.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just that there's less pixels. Stuff gets fuzzier, too, because of the way the Mac can't use its native resolution.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I have never purchased a 4K monitor for use with... I would love a 4K monitor at work for use with my PC, but for the Mac, I've always used 5K,
mm-hmm.
if possible. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I looked at 5K, but there's still a big jump in price. And again, monitor was
sure.
Like $400 and some odd bucks or so.
Yeah.
So for the price, I'm like, I'm perfectly happy with this thing. And I even toyed with the idea of, it's like, I do have this vertical stand, a dual display stand. I could go back to having two big monitors on the screen. I don't need that. I think when I had like five displays on my desktop, I think I probably lost productivity because I was just busy moving windows from one screen to another just because I could for no reason. So,
mm-hmm. For my Mac, I really like having one 5K monitor. For my PC, my monitors they're not 4K. They're between 4K and HD, whatever you and I decided that was last time.
Yep.
So I do have two monitors on those. And for those, I will say Windows is really nice with the keyboard shortcuts for just zinging stuff around across from one window to the other, or just in different mm-hmm. places on the current window or current monitor. So I use keyboard shortcuts for that, and it doesn't slow me down at all. If I can ever find that article, I'll send it to you. In case, I don't know why I would do that, because then you'll just be mad at me for trying to make you feel bad about your monitor.
I'm perfectly happy.
Never mind, Peter. I said nothing. Okay.
I'm perfectly happy with this monitor. Don't change that.
Well, see, I'm really picky about the way text looks, especially. You know what, though? Mm-hmm. Here, I don't know why, but it doesn't matter what resolution screen you get. On Windows, text sucks.
Mm.
I don't know what Microsoft is doing, but there is nothing that looks like text on a Mac with a good display in the Windows world. It just looks like utter shit.
True type fonts aren't so true.
They're not. They're fuzzy. They're janky. They're horrible. And I don't know why.
So, question. What is the name of the original Mac font? The one, like the old school, the one you showed me, because you showed me a picture of it the other day.
Yeah, I don't know if that was actually the exact same font. Let me see what font I used. I don't think that was really the exact same font, but it just reminded me of it. No, this is Krungthup. That's definitely not right, but it looks like... Okay, so what was the original Mac font? It was Chicago.
Chicago.
So let's see if I even have Chicago available to me. I don't think I do now, probably. Unless I've installed it.
I don't know that you do. Well, I've opened up Fontbook right now just to see in mine.
Nope, there's no Chicago. But Krungthup, whatever it is, looks a lot like Chicago to me.
Okay.
In fact, the M is identical. The M and the A is different. The M is identical. The C is identical.
Oh, but you see, Chicago was an OS 9 font, so it's not part of OS 10.
OS 9? Well, if it was the original Mac font, it should have been...
Well, I mean, what they're saying is, like, that was why you don't have it in OS 10. OS 9 and earlier, maybe, right?
Yeah, Susan Kare made the Chicago font in 1984, so I would assume that was the original Macintosh font. It looks like the original Mac font.
Okay, all right. In Mac OS 8, Charcoal replaced Chicago as the default system font.
Huh. Charcoal, that sounds terrible.
Charcoal, there you go.
Do you have it in your font book? I don't think I do.
Charcoal? I don't think so. Now, I'm curious, though, is like, someone must have made, you know, one that you can download, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Let's see if they have an example of it. Oh, I see Charcoal. Charcoal is way more rounded than Chicago was.
Hmm.
It's still kind of blocky, comparatively speaking, but it's more rounded.
I found Chicago on 1001freefonts.com.
Well, those are 1001fontthieves.com. That's what that is.
It's free for personal use. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep.
How do you install fonts in a Mac? I always forget. Do you drag it onto the font book or do you just double click it and it just...
You can double click it, or you can right click and say open in font book, or you can drag it on the font book, or...
Yeah, okay. So you can pretty much do whatever you want. Just do what you like.
Well, this font, getmesenttoprison.com.
I don't care what you even do. I mean, no, isn't that Folsom font or something?
Right, exactly, yeah. By the way, you know what's hilarious to me? The Folsom Prison is right below the Folsom Dam.
Hmm.
So if the dam ever breaks, the prisoners are going to be the first in line to know about it. It's going to be great. If there's ever a major earthquake there and the dam just crumbles, the prisoners don't have a chance. It's hilarious.
That was probably considered during the creation of the prison.
Probably.
And they probably said, and?
I wonder what would happen if a whole bunch of prisoners broke out and it was getting crazy. Would they just break the dam? Can they just like open up the dam, just completely open the dam? Do they have an emergency button? If prisoners are escaping, completely open the dam and worry about the side effects later. Do you think?
I don't know.
I mean, if I was making a dam, I would do that. So here's a feedback. You and I talked about, remember the time we were talking about how we had all the ATP apps, the apps from all the ATP hosts?
Yes.
And we were saying that John Syracuse's were confusing and useless and we didn't use them.
Yes.
I lied. I've been using Front and Center.
Okay. Can you give us a tutorial, perhaps on this very show, as to how that works?
Front and Center reverts the windowing behavior to a previous Mac behavior, wherein if you click one of the windows of an application, all of the windows of the application will come in front of everything else, not just that one window.
Got it. Okay, I understand now. Yes.
So you can have it set so that it will do that by default, or you can have it set so that you have to shift click. So if you can have it either way. You can either have it the way it normally behaves, where if you click an application window, only that window of that application comes to the front, not the other windows that might be open for that app.
Okay.
Or if you shift click, it works the way where it brings all the windows forward. Or you can have it the opposite. And I have it the opposite. I have it by default. Like if I had multiple Safari windows open, which I don't because I've got tabs. But if I did, if I clicked this, all the Safari windows would come to the front in front of everything else.
Got it.
Or I could shift click and just get that one window only.
Okay. All right.
So I actually like it. It's pretty cool. Because sometimes in order to find stuff or even to realize that you have multiple windows of an app open, it is nice to have that instantaneous feedback.
Okay.
So that one I'll give John Syracuse a credit for. The switch glass one I don't use because I don't want another dock hanging out on my screen taking up pixel space.
Switch glass, that's one I could not figure out how that worked.
Switch glass is more of... So the dock shows apps that you have put in there and apps that are active.
Okay.
Switch glass just shows apps that are active. So instead of command tabbing or alt tabbing, if you have alt tab installed, you just click on the app on the switch glass, which is weird for me to think of Syracuse developing because he seems like a keyboard shortcuts guy. And I am definitely, if I can switch to another app with my keyboard instead of clicking on something, hell yes, I'm doing that all day long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have managed to install my Chicago font.
Mm-hmm.
can you remind me now, where do I actually change the default font, say, in Finder?
Oh.
I don't even remember where that is now. It doesn't seem to be under... I'm under settings, but I'm not finding it. I'm not findering it.
Settings, general, displays, wallpaper, screensaver, desktop, and dock. Now, I don't know if you... You know what? I'm not sure that you actually can.
I thought you could change the desktop.
Yeah, there. As far as I know, there is no... Apple wants you to use the system font that they installed.
Of course they do. Yeah, you can change the text size, system settings, displays. Interesting.
Go to format sidebar.
This is great. This is stimulating podcast content, dear listener.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
I don't even know if it's possible.
I don't think it is.
Maybe Syracuse would have to write us something.
Yeah. This is where you should be doing your Syracuse impression right now.
Why would you want to change the system font? Well, Apple, it's because I like the system font better than that one. That's why. I don't know. It's your stupid font. Why can't I choose a different font? And I could channel Casey List if you have your beep button handy.
Oh my God, yeah. Go for it.
Why the f*** will Apple not let us change the f*** font? I'm f***ing pissed.
He was... it was so great. That was a great episode.
That was hilarious. So anyway, what other fun things, fun stuff?
I got a new keyboard. I got a Keychron Q1.
Talk to me.
This thing is a tank. Oh my God. It's an aluminum slab and the keys are clacky, but they're quieter than the old one, but they feel solid. I mean, they don't move side to side at all. This is an old mechanic. This feels like type almost. It feels most like typing on an old typewriter, except a little more pleasant. It doesn't require as much force, obviously, as pushing those levers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can get the sound. Levers.
I can hear that sound.
Yeah. And it is so much better than the other. I thought I liked that other Keychron keyboard until I started using this one. Now I realize the error of my ways. And it's beautiful. I'll have to show you. Actually, I can show you.
Oh, it's a compact little keyboard.
It's
doesn't have the
75%, 84 key.
Right. Doesn't have the 101. Yeah.
I don't like those. I don't want that.
Yep. Okay. I had one of those on my desktop as my main keyboard for the longest time, but now I just use my MacBook, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Right there. So why have another one?
Because it's nice. Because I like having my MacBook Pro closed because I've got the 5K monitor. I've got my keyboard, I've got a trackpad and a mouse. I'm not gonna... So you're just using your laptop trackpad?
No, I've got a mouse. I've got a trackball next to it. I do often use the trackpad, but...
You have a mouse ball?
I have a Kensington trackball. I've got a oldie schoolie mouse, although it's Bluetooth, wireless mouse, and I've got the trackpad. And depending on what I'm doing, you know, what application, I will frequently switch back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll even take whatever app I'm doing and kick it over to the iPad so I can use the touch screen. So it depends.
I'll tell you what, trackpads are great for gestures, for switching windows, going back and forth in the browser, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Trackpad
absolutely.
Is great for that.
Yep.
So it is nice to have both.
Trackpad is good for gestures, better than a trackball.
Trackpad sucks for things like Photoshop or stuff like that.
There's a time and a place.
What has your media been consisting of these days? I know you've been super busy. You probably haven't had time to watch a lot or listen to a lot of books.
I've been listening to a lot of books. I have been, actually.
Oh, because you've been driving back and forth.
Because I've been driving, yes.
And you've probably worn your AirPods Pro while you've been cleaning out your new Vermont home. Yeah.
Bingo. Yes, exactly. So haven't done as much watching. Like I have not finished What If. I have not started Echo. I have not finished Monarch.
Ah.
So I'm working on those. I did start Ted Lasso season 3. I forget where I'm like, I think 4 episodes into that, maybe 5.
Huh.
But right now, again, at the suggestion of Adam from Blurring the Lines, I'm reading Sherlock Holmes and Count Dracula, which I'm liking. It seems very true to, you know, to the style.
Who wrote this?
I forget the name. Not Doyle and not Stoker. So,
In fact, Doyle didn't die by natural causes. He killed himself when he heard that somebody was planning on writing this book.
I'm enjoying it. I'm very much enjoying it. So it's pretty cool. And in like the book three or the third part or second part or whatnot, it takes a little bit of a twist that I did not see coming, which I'm enjoying. So. Hmm.
You were saying, though, that was it you or Adam that was saying that they couldn't get into Sherlock Holmes?
I think the original.
One of you was saying that it's a little dry.
Yeah. I was saying that. I was saying that the original Sherlock Holmes stuff, you know, it's kind of hard because, you know, it's like, oh, there's something, something, something. And then Holmes just knows. And like all of a sudden, like, aha, because I saw all these things that no one else could have possibly known. And, you know, and it's just like, really?
He's the ultimate mansplainer. It's just that he also happens to be right. But right? Am I wrong? He's annoying. He makes you want to punch him in the face.
He is. He definitely can. Yes. And that's something like I never picked up until I was an adult, you know, like the fact that like, oh, right. He's an opium addict.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, he has as perceptive as he is, he's kind of looks a little ADD sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he's always
manic.
Telling everybody how everything is. And you're always like, Twitter.
But I enjoy him. So it's fun.
That's good. I've never read that.
Yeah. No, I'm enjoying it. And again, I'm listening to it in Audible. It's very much reminds me of the game Rippers that I haven't played for a little while, but it was, you know, that was my staple, you know, Sunday night game with my crew for a long time. And yeah, it's really good. It's enjoyable. So very, you know, it's very true to the genre, I think. So I'm enjoying it. I see a cat having fun in the background.
My cat is eating a styrofoam donut. You know those donuts you put on your door to keep them from closing all the way? He's eating it. He's
yep.
literally eating it.
Rawr, I kill you. All right. What do we say? Should we keep it short and sweet?
I think we should keep it short.
Or did you want to talk about the post office and how it sucks?
Oh, yeah. So because our community mailbox got broken into, Peter, I wanted to put a hold on the mail because the front of it looks normal, but the back where we unlock and open it and pull our mail out, the locks are broken on our side.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to put a hold on my mail. So I call up the post office and they have this automated system and you can put a hold on your mail. And they ask you, it's one of these systems that you have to talk to. They ask you all kinds of questions. What's your address? What's this? What's that? What's your last name? They say your last name and then say the word spelled and then spell it out. So as I'm doing that, it pops in the middle and says, I'm sorry, I need you to say your last name. I'm like, I'm just doing it right now. Will you let me finish? Then it went through the same thing with my first name where it kept interrupting me and saying, you got to say your first name. And I'm like, I'm trying. If you would shut up and listen, you might hear me. And then it's like, when do you want the hold for? And I'm like, January 29th, 2024. And it's like, I think you said January 29th, 2023. And I'm like, yes, brilliant. Let's put a hold on my mail starting 1 year ago. Can we do that?
It's great.
It's just crazy. Anyway, so then you go through it for 20 minutes. I'm not kidding. It takes 20 minutes to walk through this. I looked at my watch at the start and end of it. And then at the very end, it goes, oh, something's wrong. I'm sorry. We can't place a hold on your mail. So then when I got to the post office, of course, they were super helpful. And they actually already knew that box was broken into and they were already not going to be delivering mail to it. There was some mail in it, but I assumed that mail had been in there when the people broke it. And for some reason, they didn't take it.
Hmm.
The post office people knew about it. They put the hold on my mail for me. They were great. The people at the post office were great, but their automated system was insane. It just drove me crazy. It couldn't understand anything I said. And I treated it like Siri. I just started talking louder and more enunciation. And then it was better, but it's still. I was yelling 2024 and it thought I said 2023. And I promise you, I probably say a lot of things weird, but I don't say three and four anywhere near the same. They're definitely mm-hmm. different sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, Peter.
I agree.
So I spent 3 or 4 hours on the phone with the post office. No. Just wanted to demonstrate the use of the words three and four.
Three and four. Thank you.
So, I wanted to see if you could tell those apart.
I can tell those apart. Thank you
Excellent.
So much. 23, 2023, etc.
You can't work at the post office then because you're way too understanding.
Nope. There you go. All right. I think we're good. And I will let you know that I'm heading out shortly and I'm going to go see the new Jason Statham movie, The Beekeeper.
Are you really? The Beekeeper. Yes. Well, I think you should have, what did I have? Some kind of bee porter or something?
You got a honey porter thing there, which was great.
Yeah. So I think you should take a few of those in your pockets into the movie like you used to do when you were 14 or 16 or 22 or whatever it was.
Perfect. Thanks.
Yeah. No problem.
Great. Well, there you go.
So, people, how does Peter find us?
Peter finds us by just saying, you know, hey, dingus, call Scott. But anyway, if you want to find us, dear listener, you can find us at friendswithbrews.com. You can find me at nicolaitis.com or yogawithpeter.com. You can also find Scott at, well, Scott's on Mastodon at app.net.
No, I'm not. We went over this before, remember?
Wait, you're not on app.
I'm on social.lol now.
Social.lol.
Yeah. It's Scott Wilsey, though. It's all one word, Scott Wilsey.
Scott Wilsey at social.lol.
Yep.
Yes. Social.lol. Thank you. Am I following you? Have I switched? I don't even know. I don't remember.
I think
the last
it did automatically. I hope so. Okay, I think it automatically. Move.
Okay, good. Make me not have to think about it. So, yeah, so you can find him there and where he's picking fights with, you know, some of his closest friends on the internet. And
wait, Peter, as infrequently as you're on Mastodon, does it really matter if you're following me or not? I don't think there's going to be much of a difference either way.
Well, there was a time when I would occasionally get notifications of things happening on Mastodon.
Yeah.
And then that stopped. And whether it's because I turned something off, something broke, or my spam filter just got aggressive, I don't know. No idea what's going on. On that note, we should just push the big red button.
Tell your friends.